Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon.
Well, y'all can be seated and could just dismiss right now if y'all are fine with that. I mean, it's a pretty good way to start the service, but we're going to open up the Word of God, which changes who we are, and I want you to find the Old Testament book of Amos. You say, what book is that? It's one of those books where the pages are stuck together. You probably don't read very much, and so don't be ashamed if you need to go to the table of contents today and find that. And we're in the middle of a series on the minor prophets that we've called Have You Read My Book? And we've been joking with you that one day you're going to be in heaven, you're going to run into this guy, and be like, hey, my name's Amos, what's your name? You're going to be like, my name's Joe, or whatever your name is. And he's going to say, you know what, I actually was an author of the Bible. Like, I wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I wrote one of the books of the Bible. Don't know if you've heard about it, maybe did you read my book? I don't want you to be embarrassed in heaven, okay? We're doing an entire series on six of these minor prophets, all to avoid embarrassment in heaven, okay? So we are taking six of the 12 minor prophets. We actually studied Jonah last summer, verse by verse. So by the end of this summer, we will have covered seven of the 12 minor prophets together. We are literally taking a book a Sunday. We're giving you the big picture, the main message of the entirety of the book, and really nailing down what a great word for it is, specifically from that book for your life. I don't know if anybody in this room has ever dealt with feelings of inadequacy. Any show of hands? I definitely felt that from time to time, just feeling inadequate to do what I know I need to do or what God's calling me to do. It's very easy, even in a church environment, to look at people in your small group or to look at people even on a Sunday morning gathering like this and think to yourself, well, God uses people like her. God uses people like him. Like, you look at these three missionaries and you're like, well, God uses people like them, not people like me. Like, you don't know what I'm dealing with, what I'm battling personally. And we all struggle with these kind of feelings and anxiety of inadequacy when it comes to serving God. But I want to just encourage you from the Word of God today. If you've ever had those thoughts and feelings, you're going to really relate with this guy named Amos, okay? I'm going to give you the main thought of this message. I'll come back to it several times. If you're a note taker, always encourage you to write this down. Gives you the main thrust of where we're going today. But here's what the Bible will teach us today from the life of Amos. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for him. God uses very ordinary people to do extraordinary things for him. Now, right off the bat, some of y'all feel hope already. You're like, oh, this is a good day to come to church. I feel pretty ordinary right here, right now. Think about other people in the Bible. Even as you look at Peter and John, remember what was said about them in Acts chapter 4? We often look at Peter and John like they are top of the top. In that day, you would have looked at them and thought, not much there. Here's proof. Acts chapter 4, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. In other words, they were extremely ordinary. These people were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Very ordinary men. Remember Moses, when God calls him to Egypt, how does Moses respond to God? It's not a, yes, Lord, I'm available. My yes is on the table. When do I go to Egypt? When do we set sail? Like, when do I do that? Not that at all. Exodus chapter 3, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? We could go through the Bible and think about almost every man, almost every woman who was used by God in some significant way, and here's what they all had in common, okay? Those who were greatly used by God in the Bible often felt like they were the most inadequate and least qualified to serve God. Did you get that simple truth? Those who were used by God in a great manner in the Scriptures often felt like they were the least qualified to serve God. And today's message goes hand in hand with this guy named Amos, who felt just like so many others in the Bible. Let's just begin where the Bible begins, Amos chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, "The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds," so he's a shepherd. I find it interesting here. He's not mentioned as the head shepherd, as an important guy with the shepherds. He's just among the shepherds of Tekoa. That was where he lived, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, right off the bat, here's a simple truth we learn. Amos was an ordinary man. He's a very ordinary dude right here in the scriptures. He's just a shepherd. You got to think back ancient days. A shepherd would not have been somebody who was looked upon highly. They're not people who you look at as extraordinarily gifted. You're kind of like, okay, you spend most of your time with animals. Okay, that tells me something about you. And Amos probably stunk, you know, all that good kind of stuff. And here's how ordinary Amos was. Amos is not really mentioned anywhere else in the Bible other than in his own book. He's from a place called Tekoa. You say, well, tell us about Tekoa. We don't really know much at all about Tekoa. We know it's about 10 miles from Jerusalem. That's about the extent of it. So you're like, this is a normal dude from a normal place, okay? If you think Northwest Arkansas, Amos is not in the NWA Business Journal 40 Under 40 or Fast Rising People in the community. Like, that's not Amos at all. He would not be people that they looked at. In fact, as you go towards the end of the book, Amos chapter 7, there's a guy named Amaziah who, when Amos is giving the prophecy towards the people of God in Israel, Amaziah essentially responds like this. He's like, who are you anyway? Like, who are you to be bringing a message to us like this? And here's how Amos responds, again, just right in the vein of just being an ordinary guy. Amos 7:14, he says, "I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs." In other words, I'm just a very normal guy. I'm not a preacher. My dad wasn't a preacher. Like, this is not normal for me. I was like sitting there taking care of sheep, and then God came to me and was like, "Hey, I have an assignment for you." He's like, "I'm just trying to obey God. I'm just a very ordinary man." Think about this guy named Amaziah who's questioning who Amos is. We've all had an Amaziah in our lives. Probably that person's coming to mind right now. The person who never believed in you, never thought you were good enough, didn't think you were gifted enough for whatever that thing was in your life. And it's interesting as you look even elsewhere in the Bible how this has happened. Remember King David? Remember how he was anointed king? Samuel comes to David's house and he's lining up all, David's dad is lining up all the other sons, right? David's in the field. David was also a shepherd. He didn't even think to bring David in because surely not him, like maybe the other guys. And so he lines all of them up, and remember Samuel's like, it's not him. It's not him. Certainly not him. And he goes through all the brothers, and finally he's like, is there somebody else here? Remember, David's dad is like, well, I have one more son. He's in the field right now. He says, well, call him in. Boom, that's who God calls to be the king of Israel. Interesting, if you read that story in the book of 1 Samuel, I think it's such a good word about what we're reading here in Amos. 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the what?" Just call it out. On the heart. Means the way that you and I look at people, we're like, oh yeah, she's really gifted. He's definitely going to be a big time guy in the kingdom of God serving the Lord. Like, we look at all these people who have all the right appearance, all the right gifting. We say, those are the people. And God says, no, I'm flipping that upside down. I look at the heart. I look for ordinary people who I can do extraordinary things through. And this is the life of Amos. Amos was kind of like David, a guy who would have been overlooked for just being a shepherd. I believe Satan feeds off insecurity in your life. Anybody ever deal with insecurity? Especially when it comes to spiritual things like somebody asks you, hey, would you be open to like leading the Bible study today? Or would you mind praying as we open up the dinner tonight? And you're like, man, I mean, not me. Like, I don't know. And we get all these like crazy feelings of inadequacy. And I think Satan just feeds off that. In fact, I think it's actually part of his strategy. I've called it a strategy of inadequacy that Satan, the enemy, tries to do in our lives. I'm going to name three of these. I just want you to think through as I name each one. Have you ever dealt with this thought? Have you ever battled this feeling of inadequacy or insecurity? Here's three things I think Satan often tells us. Have you ever felt this? Satan tells us you have the wrong gifting. You have the wrong gifting. Satan wants you to believe that you are not gifted to do what God has called you to do. That's such a simple statement, but let me say it to you again. Satan wants you to believe that you are not gifted to do what God has called you to do. You don't have enough to do what it is that God wants you to do. We often look at other people. We say, well, surely there's people more qualified than me. Surely he'd be better than I am. She'd be better than I am. And that often leads us to never stepping into obedience to serve God. You've probably heard this famous statement before. I don't even know who said it originally, but it's this statement: God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. You see, when you're battling feelings of inadequacy and insecurity before the enemy, you begin to think, well, surely somebody else is better suited than me. And so you never, like I said, you never step into obedience. You never step into service for the Lord because you think that surely somebody else is better. I just want to speak for a second and just feel impressed in this moment to say this. For those of you who feel called to something by the Lord right now, and maybe it's even an extremely difficult task right now, here's what I want you to understand from the Word of God, from the life of Amos today. God will give you everything you need for your calling. Amen. He'll give you everything. Everything at the office that's complex and complicated, everything in your family that's awkward and dysfunctional, everything in your personal life that you're walking through and battling through, God will give you everything necessary to fulfill the calling of God on your life. Like, some people just need to say, okay, I can go forward now. That's the story of Amos. That is the life of Amos in a nutshell right there. We think to ourselves things like, well, there's no way I could lead a small group. Well, God will give you everything you need to lead the small group. There's no way I could ever share the gospel tomorrow with that lost person at my office. There's no way. God can give you everything you need for those moments. And he'll do it. Think back to my own life, and there was a time when I think I believed in part this lie from the enemy: if you have the wrong gifting for your calling. I was called to ministry while I was in high school, surrendered to the ministry in high school, and when I got to college, really began battling panic attacks. I don't know how many of you ever have walked through that journey, and maybe you're in that journey right now, and it's like a family when you have, you're like, I know what you mean, I know what you're dealing with, and so I just battled that over and over during my college years, and many times I would be at a place where I was about to preach somewhere, and I would just feel like I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. Like, I'm going to throw up all over the stage. This is the end. Like, I'll always be the guy, the pastor who puked on stage in front of everybody. Like, I'll be a YouTube sensation, and not in a good way. Like, it's just going to be bad. And I can remember I was here in town. I was an intern at the church that summer, and we were still, Pinnacle Hills Campus was still in the strip mall over here before we built this building. And I was supposed to, on a Wednesday night, speak to the student ministry. So, I mean, it's summer, student ministry. There was probably, I'm not exaggerating, there was probably 30 kids there that night. And 28 of them don't give a rip what I'm about to talk about anyway. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to be faithful. And so I show up, you know, an hour or two early, and I'm going through my notes, going through the Bible, and I am just so nervous, like paralyzed by fear. I can remember there was like an 8x12 table with a chair pulled up, and I've just got my head on the table. I'm so nauseous, so nervous, and that continues all the way until I speak, and so I'm speaking in front of the group, and I really believe I preached about 5 minutes and was done. Maybe 10 if I'm generous with myself, but I think it was closer to 5. It was just a disaster, 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 and so I could very easily buy into the lie from the enemy that my gifting doesn't work with my, how am I supposed to preach for a living and for a calling if I feel like I'm going to throw up every time I get up to preach? Now you can make this personal in your own life of what that means. And I really believe that part of that was just Satan's battle in my own life of trying to get me to feel inadequate, never step into the calling, never step into serving God. And here today, I'm preaching, and I feel fine. So I'm not going to throw up, but, you know, so that's good, yeah. Thanks for the courtesy there. All right, here's the second thing. Have you ever heard Satan say this? You have the wrong temptations. You have the wrong temptation. Satan wants you to believe that you can't serve God because of the battle with sin that you have right now. Now this one kind of gets in the deep end of the pool right here. Here's Satan's desire for your life. He wants you to feel isolated and alone and believe that you are the only person who has ever struggled with that particular sin that you're battling. New Testament tells us that there's no temptation that is not common to man. In other words, every temptation that you've ever felt in your life, somebody else has also felt that. You're like, I don't know, man, this is pretty bad. Word of God's pretty true. It doesn't matter what you're battling today. And again, you'll hear this lie from the enemy. Man, you can't serve God until you get your life right. You can't serve God until you're not dealing with that anymore. Can I just be honest with you? If you wait for that moment where you're living a perfect life, you will never step out and serve God in any capacity in your life. You just never will. Now, is there a purity factor that God uses, you know, in your life, a clean vessel? 100%. But here's what I want you to understand. I believe God blesses a quick repenter way more than he ever blesses a perfect liver, because a perfect liver never exists, okay? So when you mess up, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I'm repenting for you. Would you cleanse me? Some people are paralyzed today because you feel like you're the only person in the church dealing with certain things, okay? Here's a third lie the enemy tries to get us to feel inadequate. You got the wrong family background. You have the wrong family background. Many of our people in our church right here in this service today, many of you were not raised in church. Even learning the Bible is still kind of a process for you right now. And many people in our church were raised up in dysfunctional families. Some of you are like, amen, preacher. I can't say it too loud because my mom's on the other side of the room, but amen. Inside is a megaphone of amens right now. And so you never step out and serve God in some way because you're like, man, if only people knew what I've come from. If only people knew what I've done in my past. And I want to encourage those of you, I want to clarify, maybe a better way to say it. For those of you who are brand new to our church today, or maybe you're just here over a few weeks and you're wondering, like who are these people that are here at Cross Church? Let me assure you, this church is made up of messed up people who've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. That is our that's the preacher's story. That's the worship team's story. That's the other pastors and staff story. That's the lay people's story. A bunch of messed up people saved by the grace of Jesus Christ in this thing we call the church. Amos, ordinary guy who at any point in this journey could have bought into the lies of inadequacy and said, God, surely someone else. I'm just a shepherd in this no-name place called Tekoa. Surely, Lord, there is someone else, but he didn't. Remember our main thought? God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Amos was an ordinary man. Think about a second thing. Amos had an extraordinary calling. He had an extraordinary calling. He said, well, Nick, what was the calling? Look at chapter 7. Look at verse 15. Here's how he described it. He says, but the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. So God took me from where I was and told me to go do that. Now, we're going to get to the prophecy here in just a moment, but is that not a beautiful picture of salvation today? God took me from this, and now I'm this. God took me from the flock, and now he's given me a whole new purpose in my life. Can I just reiterate? We're all messed up people, and if we could just put a microphone up here on the stage, and one by one, the people who know Jesus in this church would come, and they would say, hi, my name's Janice. And man, I used to be so trapped in sin, and I used to live for myself. But then Jesus saved me, and now I'm serving God in this capacity. Amen. Hey, my name is Joe, and I was addicted to pornography, and I was addicted to other things in my life. And then Jesus saved me, and man, now I've got a wife, 3 kids, walking faithfully in purity. You see, when Jesus gets the hold of a person, he changes everything. And there are some of you here in this room who, if you're honest with yourself, you don't know Christ. And maybe you've even been through the last 7 weeks of this journey with us. And every week you're like, okay, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And I just want to encourage you, man. What are you waiting on? What are you holding back for? All you're holding on for is another week of misery where you're thinking about all these things. And I just want to encourage you, Jesus can take you from where you are and take you to where he wants you to be. That's the story of Amos right here. What was this calling? His calling was essentially the same as almost every other Old Testament prophet. I want you to go to the people and pronounce a message of judgment. In this particular case, it is an announcement of judgment against the people of God. Now, that'll mess with you for a little second, right? Like, okay, so God is about to judge his own people. Do you realize, in all reality, we could have named this series that we're walking through for 6 weeks like, Repent, for the Judgment of God is at Hand. I thought that would be a great way to boost attendance in the summer. Honey, you ready to go to church? Talk about judgment? Again? You know, so we lighten it up. Have you read my book? But again, it's a message of judgment for, in this sake, the people of God. This is what verse 2 of chapter 1 begins to unroll for us. And he said, Amos said, the Lord roars from Zion. You see, when you see that phrase in the Bible, it is an announcement of judgment. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. It's interesting, as we talk about Amos being a book of judgment, one interesting distinction between Amos and the other minor prophets is some of those other minor prophets, you know, like a message of hope is kind of weaved throughout it. Amos, all judgment, the last five verses of the book, that's when he speaks about hope. Judgment, 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 hope. That's Amos, right? Just does it a little bit different here. And as I've said, and as we've, you know, our other preachers have said over the last few weeks, these six books that we're studying, they're so easy to look at in the Bible and say, man, I read that in my Bible, and I have no idea what it's talking about. And we look at these old, small books with the pages stuck together, and it's obscure language of judgment, and you're like, I really don't understand what this is talking about. And so it probably doesn't have any relevance to my life, and I just want to stop and say, hold up. The Word of God is living and active. Every single page, every page matters, every book matters, and God speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit regardless of where we are in the Bible. New Testament does not trump Old Testament. They are in harmony with one another. And so right here in the Bible, what I really want you to understand is this. Amos was written about 760 BC. So this is like 760 years before Jesus. This is 2,000 years post-resurrection and all that stuff. So we're like 2,800 years or so roughly from the writing of this book. And I'm just telling you, the message of judgment is so applicable to America in 2021. You say, well, what was the message? Let's go through it. Why was God going to bring judgment? He gives us three specific things. Number one, they were consumed with materialism. Hello. Anybody see our country yet? Consumed with materialism. You got to understand, historically, this was a time when this book was written, this was a time of peace in Israel. So things are good, and other countries that surrounded Israel were dysfunctional in nature. And so all that has allowed Israel to kind of rise up, they're able to trade with the other countries, and they are living in financial prominence. To say it another way, the economy was doing really well. Stock market was soaring. Everybody's doing well. Those that had money, I should say, were doing well and were in a good place. So they were consumed with materialism. Number two, they were treating people wrongly. This is so good. We're going to come back to this in a second. You see, these first two things are connected. When stuff gets prioritized, people get deprioritized. When materialism gets prioritized, people get deprioritized. And as you read through this, the privileged people of God in Israel, the Christians who were wealthy, here's what was going on. Amos speaks of things like the poor being trampled, of turning aside the needy, of not caring about justice. Again, America 2021, treating people wrongly in many ways. Think about a third thing. They were living hypocritical lives. living hypocritical lives. I love Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll writes this about the book of Amos and about the people of God right here. He says, while their outer lives gleamed with the rays of success, their inner lives sank into a pit of moral decay. In other words, everything looked good on the surface. Everything looked good in their appearance, and yet their inner lives were decaying. Rather than seeking out opportunities to do justice, love, mercy, walk humbly, they embraced their arrogance, idolatry, self-righteousness, and materialism. You see, here's the hard thing. Many of these same people who the judgment of God is being pronounced against them, they were the same people going to church services, playing the game, again, 2021, in so many ways. Said simply, they were going to church, they were living surface level lives, and yet their heart was far from God. You realize it's possible, and this is so many of the people's stories who've been saved or baptized the last 7 weeks of our church. Nick, I was doing all the church stuff right, man. I was here every Sunday. I was in small group. I did this as a kid. I did this. You know, I've done all these material, these religious things. But inside, when I was finally honest with myself, my heart was far from God. It's a good reminder to us that we can come to Cross Church Pinnacle Hills every single week and not be following the Lord Jesus. Here's what God said to these people of God in Israel through Amos. This is about as harsh a word as you'll see anywhere in the Bible from God. He says, I despise your feast. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs to the melody of your harps. I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Can you imagine God saying something like that to us through a prophet? Can you imagine Amos coming into Cross Church today? He's like, man, the lake is beautiful. You know, it's just beautiful. And what a pretty area of the country. But I've got a message from God for you, church. And what if his message was something along these lines? I hate your Sunday morning worship services. I take no delight in your tithing or in how you volunteer at the church. For the love, please stop singing. I detest your worship. Stop living hypocritical lives coming to church on Sunday while all the while you're treating people terribly. Can you imagine if that happened to us? We'd all be like, that would be the communal response from us if that happened right here at church. That's how God's speaking to the people in Amos. You can do all the surface level things looking like a Christian. But I just want to remind us today that one of the main marks of a genuine follower of Jesus is that they treat people right. It's hard when you get messed over at the office. It's hard when somebody in your family stabs you in the back. It's hard when you walk through difficult times. Followers of Jesus treat people right. Followers of Jesus care about the poor. They care about not living a hypocritical life, and they do the things they know they need to do. Anybody agree? That sounds a little bit like America 2021? I'll close on a little higher note. Does that sound good? Let me give you two truths as we end. Number one, God can use you even when you feel inadequate. Some of you today, you have stood on the sidelines, and it's not because you don't have a heart to serve God. It's not because you don't want to serve God. It's all because you're at a point where you're like, man, I want to, but I just feel like I'm inadequate. I want to, but I feel like I'm not qualified. And I just want to encourage you, man, step into obedience today, whatever that looks like. I have no idea what that means for you, but you need to step into the calling that God is calling you to today. Number two is this. We see this throughout the Bible. God always blesses repentance. That's ultimately the goal of why Amos is prophesying to the people of God, so that they would realize the error of their ways and they would turn back to God. You realize that's part of why we do church every single week? So that all of us would recognize the error of our ways and turn back to God. We do it again and again and again and again. And the hope in this passage is this. God tells us this in Amos. There will be a group of people that do respond to God. And there will be a group of people that the Bible calls a remnant, a group that has turned to God. Let me give you a simple, simple statement. Those who turn to God by turning away from their sin will experience the redemption of God.
Amen.
So simple, isn't it? Maybe today you're here and you're one of those people I talked about and you're like, Nick, if I'm being honest with you, like straight up with you, I know that I don't know Jesus. It's all been a show. It's all been a game. But I know that I need Christ. Man, today, would you just turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ? In just a moment, I'm going to ask our staff to come. Don't come yet, but we're going to line up the men and women of our staff across the front of this aisle, and they are here for you. So if today you need to trust Jesus for the very first time, I want you to come to them and say, hey, man, I need Jesus. They'll know what to do. They'll take it from there and move forward with you. Maybe you need to be baptized, like so many others. You need to get that in the right order. You come to one of these people. I have no doubt there's some people in here who you've been debating, is God calling you to vocational ministry? Maybe is God calling you to the mission field? Maybe today was just a confirmation of like, okay, Lord, I felt inadequate to serve in that way. I've seen all that's happened on stage today. And Lord, I'm just going to step out and step into obedience. You come and talk to one of our staff today. We'll get you started in that process. Explain what that looks like. I'll close with a more broad message today. I said this last week at our Fayetteville campus. I think it's appropriate again today. One of the greatest spiritual disciplines in your life to ever learn, talking about to ever learn, is to respond to the Word of God. When's the last time you responded to the Word of God? This is true when you read the Bible alone, maybe early morning, or maybe it's late at night. When's the last time you thought to yourself, okay, God spoke to me here, and I need to do blank, and you stepped out and responded? You know, we build time in the service every single week to respond to God. It's what we call an invitation. It's an invitation to respond to God. I want to ask, again, a broad question. When's the last time your knees have hit this altar? Been years, maybe, since you have visibly responded in the moment, immediately, to what God was doing in your heart. Maybe today, God's spoken to your heart, and just as a tangible expression of obedience, you need to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I know you're calling me towards something. I know you're asking me to do something, and Lord, I'm trusting you for that. Today, I am stepping into obedience. I am kneeling at this altar as a demonstration that my life is on the altar to be used as a sacrifice for you. When's the last time you've responded to God tangibly? I want us to bow our head and close our eyes. I'm going to ask our staff, both our men and women, to just make their way. They're just going to line up all over this altar right here. If you need to talk with them, if you want to pray with them, they're here for you. Maybe you want to just walk right past them and you just need to do business with God at the altar. You come and you kneel. Respond to the Lord today. Lord Jesus, today we respond. We make tangible decisions to obey you like we need to obey you. Lord, I pray that today would be a moment that's a marker. Pray for those that need Christ, that they would come right now. Those that need to be baptized or maybe feel a call to the ministry would come right now and talk to one of us. Pray that many Christians across this room would let their knees hit this altar and be a living sacrifice for you. Lord Jesus, we love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together all over this room today. If you need to come and respond to God in some way, you come right now. We're going to sing this song, You Come As We Sing.